Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Okay, what was it like on the road to Emmaus? We know Cleopas, but the other person was you. I mean, what did you see? What did you smell? What did you taste? Was the road dusty? Was the sun hot? What was it like for you? What was it like walking with Cleopas? And what was it like when this stranger showed up? I mean, when you put yourself in the gospel story, sometimes it comes more alive for you, for your senses, for your feelings, for your heart and your knowledge. And Cleopas, he had guts. It took courage. I mean, they were on the road to Emmaus. They were leaving Jerusalem. They were the great escape because Jerusalem was bad. Crucifixion. Jesus was dead. The disciples were afraid and they were going to a safe place, Emmaus. And this stranger shows up. Well, who was this stranger? Could have been a member of the Sanhedrin who condemned Jesus to death, who handed him over to the Romans to be crucified. That could happen to them. But somehow, Cleopas felt, he was so sad. And the person with him was so sad, just kind of let his grief pour out, his tears, his grief, his disappointment. He had seen a Jesus of Nazareth, the power of God, through his words, through his actions, through his miracles of love. He saw God working, and he thought this was the person that could redeem Israel, bring Israel back to where God wanted in the first place, to be a nation, the light to the Gentiles, where all people were welcome, all were welcome to this place, and the light of God would go out, and there'd be proclamation of peace and justice and love and goodness for all the nations. He was hoping Jesus was this energy that was going to make this happen. Yet, if Jesus had been the one to free and redeem Israel, he would be defeating the Romans. He would bring Israel back to the light of the nations. But instead, the Romans killed him. He was crucified. He was betrayed. He was dead. When they read the Bible in the Old Testament, which was their Bible, there was no New Testament at that time, they were hoping that Jesus would redeem Israel. And he was crucified. And they said, it can't be. But what was your problem? What was your problem? They were reading the Bible in the wrong way. They thought the Bible was teaching them that God would redeem Israel from suffering. What they didn't realize is that the Bible was telling us that God would redeem Israel through suffering. You've got to go through it. From here to here, you've got to go through. The Bible was saying you've got to go through suffering. The stranger on the road helped reinterpret the whole Bible for them. Going back to Moses. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, the Torah and the prophets and saying, hey, you know, from the beginning, when Adam and Eve ate that fruit and they rebelled against God, it was a story that God wanted this people when he had Abraham and Moses and they kept rebelling. So he sent the judges and they kept rebelling and they wanted a king. So they said, okay, have a king. Look what that's going to do for you. And they kept rebelling. And he sent the prophets and Jesus was the true Israelite. Jesus is the true human being. You want to like to be human? Read the Gospels. Jesus is the only successful lover that ever lived. Jesus Christ. And in him, he took in all of Israel and what Israel was supposed to be. And they're going against God. And they're blaspheming to God and saying, crucify. He took it all upon himself on the cross. And all that God-forsakenness where even he said himself, my God, why have you forsaken me? And 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead. He lives. Something brand new was happening. Cleopas said, they crucified him, but we had hoped that he would redeem Israel, that he would free Israel. He would shortly then change his mind. They crucified him, and he was, that was how God redeemed Israel, through the crucifixion. That's why we need Jesus to interpret Scripture. That's why Martin Luther said to read Scripture, you've got to have Jesus. It's like the Bible is the manger that holds Christ. Without Christ, you can use the Bible as a Rorschach test. You can twist the Bible around and use it for your own ends. You know, during the Civil War, there'd be a passage of Scripture, and the Union would preach it for the freeing of slaves, and the Confederate would preach it for keeping slaves. Same passage. We need Christ. We can't read that. We need to have Christ read us rather than us reading the Bible. And when they saw Jesus, when did they see Jesus? Well, he interpreted things for them, but it's when they sat down and he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. In that moment, that action. You see, Jesus does that. I mean, we read the Scripture, and that's important. But wow, he goes to the disciples on the first. This is still Easter day. Remember the first day of Easter. He went to the disciples. He breathed on them. He went to Thomas. He said, look, my wounds. It's me. I come to you. He comes to experience. And in the breaking of the bread, in the Holy Supper, they recognized Jesus. And their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they saw the living Christ. They saw who Christ is. See, Easter, these 50 days for helping you and me to either keep our eyes open or to open our eyes to the new and radiant vision of the new age of Christ, the new age of Easter. You know, when I was in seminary, I was at Gettysburg Seminary, but they had a house of studies in Washington, D.C., but that wasn't really a house. The Roman Catholics took us in. So the one year I was with the Paulist Fathers, who were into communication and to books and to computers now. But the second year I was with the Augustinians. That's our Pope. The current Pope is an Augustinian monk. And it was neat there because they had Martin Luther, a picture of him on the wall. I said, all right, I feel like I'm home. They're wonderful, wonderful people. And I remember we pulled to the side of the Augustine Monastery, and there was the parking lot, and there was a door, and there's a buzzer you can ring, and then you go a little hallway, and there's a refectory where he ate. And one evening, I was with the brothers, and there was four other Lutherans down there too, and we were having dinner. Bzzz, doorbell rings. So Brother Dan, who had the gift of hospitality, he went over and opened the door. And there was a young man, but he was kind of scruffy, like kind of smelly, old clothes. And he said, the guy said, Brother Dan said, what can I do for you? He said, I don't want money. I'm just hungry. He said, well, we're just eating supper. Come on in. So he invited this guy in. And the brothers treated him like a king. They gave him the food and drink, and we're talking with him and learning about his little bit about himself and what happened to him. And halfway through supper, the doorbell rings again. And there's Barbara. She came in her Mercedes. She was a very rich lady, but she loved the brothers and she loved to support. And she baked a homemade apple pie. And she brought it in, and Brother Dan opened the door. And he said, well, come in. She said, well, I already ate. He said, well, you can have a cup of coffee. Come on and visit with us. So she came in and visited. And she saw the guy that was kind of scruffy looking and, you know, didn't smell too good. But he was with them eating. And so she had to leave earlier, and she was with Brother Dan. And she said, by the way, who was that guy? She said, Brother Dan said, you know who it is. I never met him. I mean, who is the guy? She said, you know who it is. She said, who is it? She said, that was Jesus. Her eyes were open. to a new and radiant vision. Jesus was there. Jesus came to the brothers in the form of that poor street person. And they saw Jesus and the radiance of Jesus, and they welcomed him. Have new eyes. You can either be on the road to Emmaus going away from Jerusalem, or after their eyes were opened, those disciples returned to Jerusalem. They went into the danger zone. They spoke the gospel. They saw the disciples. They shared the good news. To have your eyes opened by the living Jesus and the breaking of bread, life is different. Life changes. You know, I love Pope Leo. He's one of my heroes. And his eyes are open. He said recently, he's talking about war. And he said, the masters of war pretend not to know that it takes only one moment to destroy. Yet a lifetime is often needed, and it's not enough to rebuild. They turn a blind eye to the fact that billions of dollars are spent on killing and destroying, yet the resources needed for healing, for education, for restoration are often nowhere to be found. His eyes are open. Our eyes are open. Christ lives. We receive him in the breaking of bread today. And we just sang a few moments ago this stanza from this wonderful hymn, our first hymn today. And it goes like this. Turn our worship into witness in the sacrament of the Word. Send us forth to love and serve you, bringing peace where there is strife. Give us, Christ, your great compassion to forgive as you forgave. May we still behold your image in the world you died to save. We leave here, we're back, going back to Jerusalem. Christ is with us. You are an Easter people. Your eyes are open, or will be opening in the breaking of bread. Go. Share the gospel. Go. Be the gospel. Go. Be light in a dark world. And knowing that stranger is Christ, and he's walking with you every step of the way. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.